So let's start back out at James chapter 1, and we're going to start at verse 9. Father God, thank you so much for your anointing presence, Lord Jesus. It's your anointing that is going to set the captives free. It's your anointing that's going to break the yoke. Thank you for your presence, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your encouragement, Lord God. Thank you, Father God, for the work that you want to do in this church and the work that you want to do in its people, Lord. Let us be your obedient servants. Let us hunger and thirst to put you first. And we love you and praise you. And everybody in the church said, amen. Okay, so raise your hands if you're ready to dig into this stuff. All right. Everybody's psyched up. Everybody's excited. James 1 and verse 9. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation. Now notice it says brother, okay? So let me make that point again. This letter is going to Christians, Hebrew Christians. This message is not for the unbeliever, okay? But if you're in here and you're not saved this morning, guess what? We can take care of that today, and you should take care of that today. Okay, but this letter is to Christian folks. This is a message for Christian people. Let the lowly brother, okay, so what does lowly mean? It means insignificant. It means poor. It means weak. Okay, let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation. So the person who is poor, or maybe he appears to be left out in the cold. Maybe he feels like he's been forgotten. Nobody cares about him. And that brother, that's mankind, okay? So this is for all people. I think you guys know that, okay? But this isn't just a guys club. Amen? Can I get a witness? All right. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation. So the lowly person or the poor person has a reason to boast. Are you with me this morning? Not a reason to boast in himself, but to boast in the Lord and what the Lord has done in his life. Amen? Are you with me? See, it doesn't matter how rich you are, how poor you are, what kind of education you get, what your portfolio looks like, how much people like you or don't like you. Amen? But see, we're saved folks. Amen? So we're blessed like no one else. Does that make sense this morning? Are you starting to feel a little bit? Okay. Maybe you had a rough week. Maybe you don't have two pennies to rub together. Okay, well, check it out. You are loved. That's who you are. You are loved by the Most High God. What kind of money you have, that does not define you. What kind of job you have, that's not who you are. Amen? You are loved by the Most High God. And that's why we can rejoice. That is a humongous reason why we can have joy in the middle of a trial, in the middle of a storm, no matter what I'm going through. I belong to the Lord. That is a reason to get excited. Amen? And if that's not making sense, I know it makes sense on a mental level this morning. I know you guys get that, okay? That's kind of Sunday school type stuff. But what I'm saying is we need to get it in here. We really need to get it in our heart. Amen? And make that a priority this week and the weeks ahead that, you know what? Life is definitely tough. Life gets hard sometimes. I have good days and I have bad days. But then, you know, none of that stuff matters. Those are circumstances. That does not define who I am. Amen? I am loved by the Most High God. Amen? Let's give him some praise this morning. Look on your monitor, 1 John and chapter 3 and verse 1. See what kind of love, well, what kind of love are you talking about, John? See what kind of love the Father has given to us. Or see what kind of love the Father has lavished on us. Isn't that awesome? It doesn't matter what kind of money you have in the bank. It doesn't matter who thinks how cool you are or not cool you are. The Lord God Jehovah, creator of the universe, has time for you. Amen? And is concerned about you and wants to have a relationship with you. Amen? And he told us last week, you know what I mean? You're on the servanthood program. I want to use you. You're my child. Amen? Trials are going to come. Okay? But I got joy for you. Amen? I want you to focus on me. Focus on my promises. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Keep your eyes on me. And I got joy for you. Not joy in the fact that you got a flat tire, but joy in the fact that God is doing something, that God has a plan. God's doing a work in me. He cares that much about me that he's working on maturing me to make me what he wants me to be. Amen. I'm not just here to be saved and to buy time and kill time until quitting time. Amen. Amen. Okay, 1 John 3 and verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God? So we are. So God says you're his child, and so guess what? You are his child. Amen. We've been grafted into the family. So no matter what you're going through, no matter what trials, wind and waves you got going on this morning, you have a reason to boast, not in your own ability, but boast in the fact that my God is good. He's got a plan and he loves me and I belong to him. Amen. So let's give him some praise. Verse 10, and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. So the poor man and the rich man and everybody in between, we are called to humble ourselves. Amen. God says, you do that. You humble yourself before me. It's all about him, okay? It's all about him. So we focus on him and say, I am nothing without you. I was a dead man walking. I was on my way to hell. You stopped, you reached down, and you saved my soul. Amen. He's a big God. And he loves me. He says, humble yourself. Amen. So the rich man, we get a warning right here. Now keep in mind the poor guy, okay, he can be just as addicted to money as the rich guy. That poor guy can have a lot of bitterness in his heart towards the rich man or towards somebody else that would appear to be doing better financially than him. Have a lot of hatred going on, a lot of bitterness. Amen. That poor man, there's a lot that could go wrong with him too. And remember, very important, this is a message to Christian people. Okay? Keep your eyes on the Lord, because there's always that potential to get bitter or to get jealous or to begin to covet. Amen. That poor man can be just addicted to money or the lack of it. Then that rich man who can't stop counting it. Amen. But the rich man and everybody in between, don't put your trust in money. Don't let money be an idol. We need to realize that, you know, money is a blessing. Money's a blessing from the Lord. Money is a tool from the Lord. The Lord says a lot about finances. We're supposed to be wise with it. We're supposed to be generous with it. And we sure ain't supposed to let it rule us. Amen? And see, one rich man said, I forget his name, but it was one of them fancy boys, one of them old-time, big, rich Rockefeller-type cats was asked, how much more money you need before you're going to be happy? He said, one more dollar. One more dollar, and see, that's it. You're never going to get that last dollar. You know, money cannot be your God. It will lead to nowhere good. Amen. Remember last week we talked about being a double-minded person? You can't serve two masters. Amen. And the rich, in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. Psalm 62 and verse 10, if riches increase, set not your heart on them. You hear that? Hey, I'm a self-made man. I pulled myself up from the bootstraps. I was born in an outhouse, and I never knew my daddy. And look at me now. I could stack my money as tall as the Eiffel Tower. You know what I mean? Well, you know what? Good for you. All right. Don't hide it. Divide it, man. But it doesn't matter. Okay. That cannot be your God. You cannot put your trust in that. Okay, just as easy. Okay, it can take a long time to build that money up, but it can fall through your fingers really, really fast. Amen? That is not to be an idol. Amen? And that is always the potential for the rich man especially. Amen? Can I get a witness? Remember, Jesus talked an awful lot about that rich guy and how hard it is for him to enter the kingdom, because that money shines and it glimmers. And you know what? It can take control of you just like pornography, just like illicit drugs, just like anything. Amen? Can I get a witness? Okie dokie, let's go to the next slide. Is anybody hot? Excuse me. James 1 and verse 11. Still talking about that rich man. For the sun rises with its scorching heat. Can people in Northwest Florida relate to that? Amen. Now, if this was written in Northwest Florida, maybe it would have something to do with the sun rises with its scorching heat, and then there's torrential downpours. But it wasn't written in Northwest Florida. But I think this is a picture that doesn't need a lot of explaining because we know what it's like to be a little hot. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass. Here's that comparison. Humanity like a blade of grass, humanity like a flower. You got it, right? As the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass, its flower falls and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of all his pursuits. You can work your whole life building up money and worshiping that money and get to that place, you know, where like one day I'm going to get enough money. I'm going to chill out on my front porch with some lemonade. I'm going to learn the banjo and I'm just going to have the good life. You know what? And you ain't never going to get there. You're never going to get to that place. Amen. If money's your God, you're never going to have enough. And you know what? You don't know how much time you have. Amen. Tomorrow is not promised to anybody. James is saying, don't be distracted. Don't let money be your God. Don't think that money is going to make you happy. Amen. Y'all with me? Matthew 6 and verse 24. No one can serve two masters. There it is right there. Talked about being double-minded last week. And how that don't lead to anywhere good. Amen. So let's be honest. Let's be sure that, you know what? I'm not idolizing money. I'm not idolizing anything else because guess what? Just like money that fades away, just like the poor man and the rich man and everybody in between that one day will no longer be on this earth. Amen. Whatever you put your trust into in this world is not going to last. Amen. So let's not waste any of our time on that. Amen. Because who are we here for? We're here for Jesus, not the free donuts. Those are nice. I'm excited about my free donut. I can't wait to get into that jam. But that's not the big reason we're here, right? We're here to serve the Most High God in a growing relationship. Okay. Matthew 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other. Is that true? It is absolutely positively true. This is Jesus Christ talking right here, man. James is backing him up. Or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. There it is. So James puts this in there right in the middle of a bunch of stuff about trials. Hey, while we're at it, don't let money be your God. Don't think that money is going to help you accomplish anything like that. Y'all with me? Okay, Luke 12 and verse 15. And he said to them, take care and be on your guard. Be sober, be vigilant, right? Against all covetousness. Remember we talked about that poor man a minute ago? He can be so full of covetousness, so full of bitterness, wanting what that rich man has. Amen? That he's stuck in a big old rut, just like that rich man can be. Amen? Guard against all covetousness for one's, now this is important, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. I am so glad that's in the Word of God. You know what I mean? It's not about how much you accumulate. It's not about, what is the saying? Whoever has the nicest stuff or the most stuff at the end wins. Nope. Man, I've done a lot of funerals, man. I've done quite a few funerals. I ain't lying to you right now. And, you know, I've been around some situations that are pretty bad, man, you know, where family members are fighting over stuff that was left behind and all that sort of thing. And, you know, somebody worked awful hard for all that stuff. Point I'm trying to make is whatever you accumulate in this world, you ain't taking it with you. You know what I mean? And your there's a chance that your family will fight over it. There is that chance, Brother Rick. And he said to them, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. You're not what you have. You're not what your education is. You are loved by God. You are loved by God. That's who you are. I am a servant of the Most High God. I am a life changed because of the love of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Keep your life free from the love of money. There is just tons and tons of stuff about money in the good book. About not letting it be your God. About being wise about it. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Go to Hebrews 13, verse 5 this week and underline that. Be content with what you have. That does not mean don't work hard. You know what I mean? The Bible says a lot about us working hard. We need to work hard. We need to be productive. Amen? That is a very good thing. But don't be distraught and discouraged and dismayed because you think someone's got a nicer car than you, or heaven forbid, you think someone got all the good brakes, and you look at that rich man and you're so jealous. You know what? That rich man might have really worked really, really hard and sacrificed a lot to get to that place. You know what I mean? At the very least of it, you ain't supposed to be judging him. We ain't supposed to be judging him. God says use righteous judgment. God says the way... Yeah, go ahead. Use righteous judgment, and the way you're going to be judged, you're going to be judged the same way. Amen? Also says don't judge before the time. What in the world does that mean? That means you don't have all the information. You don't have all the information. You don't know why that poor man is poor. You don't know what that person went through. You don't know why they're in that situation. Oh, well, yeah, I do, because I growed up next to him. You don't know the whole story, man. You do not know. And you don't know how that rich man got to become rich. Yeah, I do, because Tom did an article. You don't know, man. God says you don't judge. Okay, God's like, I got the info. When it's time, I will do the judging. I think I should have preached on judging today. No, I'm playing. But it's true. It's totally, totally true, ain't it? Okay, where are we at? Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. That's a big step for Christians. That's a big step for everybody. Amen. But God is very specific. Be content with what you have. Amen. Because if you're not content, okay, you know what? You can get into covetousness. You can get into all kinds of trouble. Amen. Like I said, I'm not saying don't work hard. I'm not saying don't be productive. Okay. For he said, I will never, this is good, this is big. For he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, I used to read that and I was like, well, that's kind of weird. That verse is kind of like switching directions real fast. You know, no, it's very clear now, isn't it? Don't be covetous. Don't be jealous. Don't let money be your idol, okay? The big thing is me, okay? This is what you need. You need a relationship with me. And guess what? Money can fall really fast. Money can come up missing. Money can get stolen. It ain't there for you to trust and rely on, amen? But you can trust in me. I'm a good God, a loving God, and I will always be here for you, amen? Let's go to the next slide. Okay, so it went trial, talking about money. Now we're back on trials, which to me backs up my claim, man. Money can be a big, humongous trial for Christian folks. Amen? Well, raise your hands if you agree with that, if that makes any sense to you guys. You know what I mean? James 1 and verse 12. Blessed is a man who remains steadfast under trials. That's kind of a repeat from last week. We endure through the trial. Amen. God has joy for me through that trial. And trials are going to come. And there's joy waiting on me as I keep my eyes on the Lord. And I follow the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed is a man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test... he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Now, let me be very, very clear. Trials do not save your soul. Let me read that. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. Okay, that crown is like the wreath that the victorious athlete would get after winning the race or winning the competition. Paul talked about striving and getting that prize. Amen. So talking about the crown of life, it's talking about that prize that is waiting for us on the other side. Does that make sense? Now, going through trials is not some sort of system that eventually will save my soul when I reach to a certain spiritual level. That is not what he's saying. What he is saying is that because I am a servant of the Lord, because I belong to Jesus, and he is so committed to growing me and maturing me, and trials is the preferred method he uses, since you're on this program, you are going to go through trials. But you have a reason to rejoice, poor man. You have a reason to rejoice, whoever you are. Amen. Because at the end of it, you are going to be blessed beyond your wildest, wildest dreams. Amen. And we can get excited about that. We should be excited about that. That's something, when I'm talking about focusing on the Lord through the trial so I can receive that joy, that's part of it right there. You see what I'm saying? I'm a servant of the Most High God. He's got me here for a reason. And you know what? As bad as it is right now, this is as worst as it's ever going to get for me. Amen? This is as bad as it's ever going to get for a Christian. Your worst day here on earth is as bad as your eternity will ever, ever be. That's the baddest day you'll ever have in eternity. Did I say that right? Who knows? What I'm saying is, you know what? This life gets tough. God allows it for his glory and our growth. We know that. But it's not going to always be like that. And we are always going to be somewhere. And it's going to get really good in just a few minutes. You know what I mean? I don't mean like in a few minutes, like when I'm eating a donut. I'm talking about in the big scheme of things, which I'm looking forward to that. In the big scheme of things, man, it's about to get rocking for the Christian. Okay. It's about to get rocking for the Christian. Amen. God is good. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. So don't give up. Keep enduring. There's something better waiting for us around the corner, which God has promised. Hey, trial time, storm time. Hold on to those promises, man. Hold on to the promises in this good book. Stand on them. Quote them. Amen? Which God has promised to those who love him. Romans 8. In verse 18, coming to you out of the NIV. This is Paul the Apostle. I consider that our present sufferings. Remember, it was the Apostle Paul, I believe, who said, if you want to live a godly life, persecution is going to come. That's paraphrased. But that's it, man. If you want to live a godly life in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, you want to be that servant, hard times are coming, and God's going to allow them. Amen. But it's for a purpose. It's for a reason. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. That's what I'm talking about, man. We can get excited about what's going to happen in our eternity. You know what I mean? Things get tough, but just focus on the goodness of the Lord. And while you're going through that trial, he has joy for you. He has wisdom for you to make those right decisions. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Get into the good book. Focus on him. Amen? Verse 13. Switching gears a little bit, going from trials to temptation. James is super rocking, super awesome. Because there's like sermons every couple verses, man. You know? So this is why I wanted to do James right now at this part of the year, so we can get in that mode where we want to be that servant. Amen. Where we want to go that extra mile. We can have that heart of more of God and less of myself. That's where we need to be. We need to make that decision. Amen. And James is a really big encourager, man. And he kind of jumps all over the place. But every single bit of it is beneficial to increasing our faith and growing a relationship. Amen? Blessed is the man. Okay, I already read that. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. God is holy like no other being. Amen? He is in a different ballpark than anything else. He is holy, holy, holy. That's what the angels say in the throne room. Holy, holy, holy. Okay? So you know what? He will not ever, ever try and entice you, one of his children, to sin. He will never try and entice you to hurt yourself and hurt those around you. Amen? And also, the Lord God, who is holy, 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 can never be tempted by Satan. Satan is not coming up into the Lord's presence and whispering anything into his ears. The Lord, who is holy, has no evilness in him to be tempted. Does that make sense? Okay. Well, hold on now. You need to go back and do your research, Preacher Paul, because I remember when you were talking about Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. That's right. That's right. And we can talk about that. Okay. Now, here's the deal. Jesus was 100% God and 100% what? 100% man. Okay. Satan came and Satan tried to tempt that 100% man part. Okay. That's the part that was being tempted. That's the part that was being tempted. Does that make sense? And let's keep in mind that that 100% man part of Jesus Christ, the God-man, the second man of the Trinity, never once gave into that temptation. Never once gave into that. See what I'm saying? And he left us a template to follow as we are men ourselves. Okay? Because he could have done the whole I am God thing and, you know, sent down a legion of angels and just made chop suey out of Satan. You know, leave me alone. Does that make sense? But he showed us how us as mortal beings, how we handle temptation, how we handle trials by the word of God, by standing on the word of God. What did he do? He quoted the word of God. He meditated on the word of God. He stood on the word of God. And Satan cannot puncture the word of God. Amen. He is our strong tower. Can I get a witness? So Jesus left us a perfect template to follow. But God cannot be tempted. Does that make sense this morning? And God does not tempt you. So if anybody ever told you that, okay, that lady walking down the street that you can't stop thinking about, that ain't Jesus. Okay, that ain't Jesus doing that to you. Y'all with me? Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. 14. Now, this is where we need to put our thinking caps on, beloved. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed. That lured, all God's people said lured. It's a fishing term, man. Think about the lure going across the water. And, shiny lure. And the fishy is thick in his little safe little nest. And he sees that thing and he steps out a little bit, right? And now he's out in the open. That's exactly what I was talking about. Okay, now listen. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Whoa, hold the phone. Did you hear what I just said? We're all born with a sinful nature. Did y'all know that? You've heard me talk about it before. I never had to teach any of my kids to sin. My mama didn't have to sit me down and tell me how to be bad. You know what I mean? David said he was conceived in sin. He wasn't talking about his mom and daddy wasn't married when he was made. That's not what he was talking about. He's talking about, man, when my little heart started beating, I got that old sin man started developing too. You know what I mean? So when we get saved and we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we're washed in the blood of the Lamb, that sinful flesh man still wants to raise up and be selfish and do things it shouldn't do. Amen? Because remember, James is talking to Christian folks. All this is for Christians. Okay. Now, when I sin, I get my eyes off of the Lord and I make a big bonehead mistake. Is Jesus sending me to hell? No, if you are a servant of the Most High God, he's not going to send you to hell. If you're in the family, you're in the family. You know what I mean? If little Samuel went out here and started throwing rocks and breaking Rick McClary's car window and doing all kinds of bad stuff while I'm preaching, guess what? At the end of the day, that boy's still in my family. I'm not getting rid of him. He's mine. You know what I mean? He's mine. Ain't nothing going to change that. Now, there's some consequences that boy is going to have to face. Does that make sense? We'll have a meeting about that. We'll see if we can pay it off a little bit at a time. Maybe take a little bit out of the church check every week. I don't know. We'll work that out when it happens. It's not going to happen. One time, one of my kids scratched a scratched a bad word in the side of someone's car. I don't know if y'all noticed it yet, but I saw it. I still look at it. I went out there during the praise and worship and try to fix it best I can. It's still there. No, it wasn't here. It was at a family function. It happened to one of my family members. Anyways, that's what I'll talk about that later. What in the world are we talking about? Christians, as you know all too well, Christians have the ability to sin. Amen? And you don't have the luxury to sit back and say, God tempted this. God is tempting me. You don't have the luxury to say, Satan made me do it. Satan didn't make you do it. Satan will whisper in your ear. You know, but see, we have that old sinful selfishness that we need to keep in bay. It'll keep at bay. You know what I mean? Focusing on the Lord, giving it to him, growing in relationship, yielding to the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm saying? But we can get into trouble real fast. That makes sense? You can't say Satan made you do it. It's your own selfish desires. Now think about that. Think about that. You know what I mean? Satan gets a lot of credit for a lot of stuff he ain't really doing. You know, and he'll gladly take the credit. A lot of it's just us being selfish knuckleheads. You know what I mean? Well, when does sin become sin? You can sin in your mind. That makes sense? You know what I'm saying? You can't help the thoughts that are thrown your way, but if you want to chew on them and meditate on them, they can get sinful real fast. Amen? Then desire, okay, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. You give into that selfish desire, boom, there you did it. You ate the cake, Houston. That's an old joke. Huh? Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin is going to have a grandbaby. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. That's bad news, ain't it? So that's what I was talking about. We're led astray by our own selfishness. We give into it. Okay, now we're sinning. Now we're in up to our necks. Okay, and guess what? That don't lead you to nowhere good, does it? To the unrepentant unbelievers, the person that has never confessed their love and accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, that is eternal damnation station right there. That's separation from the Lord's presence forever and ever. That's death. Okay, but to the believer that gives into that temptation, that can be death of a marriage. That can be death of a job. That can be death of a relationship. In other words, it ain't going to lead you to nowhere good. And that sin that you are coddling and messing around with, it's not going to just affect you. We all need to understand that. Okay, no sin just affects you. God is not the one tempting you. Okay? And that sin that you've been playing with, that you've been toying around with, it is not just going to hurt you. It ain't going to hurt me, man. I'm tough. I'm strong. No, it can and will hurt you and affect everybody around you. A lot of wise, big-time, fancy boy preachers say, you know what, I can't fall. I'm too strong in the Lord. And then, man, in the 80s, who was around for the 80s and saw that? People kept falling and falling and falling. And we can't judge those folks, but what I'm trying to say is we can be like that really easy. Really easy. Don't think that you're immune to anything or you're too strong in the Lord. Amen? Is everybody cool? Everybody all right? The mood's kind of changed. Oh, my goodness. Okay, let's go to the next slide. James 1:16, do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Okay, so let's be trekking with where we're going with the text, okay? You're going to go through trials because you belong to me, okay? You're going to be tempted, okay, but that's not God, all right? You have a little selfishness in you that wants to get in trouble, and Satan is more than willing to help you get involved in some bad stuff. Amen, you with me? So matter of fact, every good thing you have in your life is from God. Amen? Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Every good thing in your life, from Rachel Jean to Rosebuds, is from the Lord. Amen? Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. I didn't plan on saying that. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. So a little poetry there. The Father of lights. So when you get discouraged, when you're going through that trial, look up, look at the stars. The same God that saved your soul, the same God that says, I will never leave you or forsake you. He made each and every one of those, put them exactly where they need to be. He knows them by name. But more than that, he knows your name and he knows what you're going through. Amen? Coming down from the Father of lights, with whom, talking about God, there is no variation or shadow due to change. Meaning the stars can move around. You know what I mean? Okay, if you were a boat guy back in the old day, you might look at those stars and they'd lead you where to go. But you also had to learn really, really fast that those stars weren't always going to be in the same place. You know what I mean? Things move around. Heaven stuff, moon stuff, star stuff, sun stuff. Did y'all know about all that? In other words, you know, you can say, well, I know if I follow that star, that's going to lead me to Big Lots. So I'm going to follow that star. You know what I mean? And you get there and like, okay, it's Big Lots. And 2-3 times in a row, you're like, okay, Big Lots. But if you don't, if you're not hip to how that stuff moves, you can take you a couple weeks off and you go to Big Lots and find out you are not at Big Lots, but you are at Fred's. You know what I mean? And it can happen that easy and that fast. There, yeah. Two shoes, one low price. Okay. With whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. God is your constant. God is not going to drop you, okay, because you ain't cool. God's not going to drop you because you're the poor guy. God's not going to drop you because you're the rich guy, okay? He loves you. He's committed to you. Amen. He's a good God, a loving God. You're going to go through these trials. You're going to go through these storms. You might even get involved in a little temptation, and we're going to repent. Amen. Y'all with me? But God is right there with you. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Right? Like the boy, like the kid busting out the window. He's still my kid. He's still mine now. He's got to learn some lessons. Right? Got to go through some stuff. But I'm not kicking him out of the family. Y'all with me? Okay. With whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Last verse, and all God's people said, woo dog. Of his own will. James is showing this early church. God is good. Life is hard sometimes, but God is good. Okay? Matter of fact, take hold of this. Let this get you excited. Of his own will, he brought forth the word of truth. Of his own will. Nobody grabbed him by the arm. Okay, he wasn't coaxed into it. He wasn't talked into it. Because he loved you, he gave us salvation. Because he loved us, for God so loved the world, he gave. He gave his son so we could be saved. Amen. That's a good God. Amen. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. The gospel. He gave us salvation through the gospel. The good news. Amen. Hey, you too can be saved. Amen. Or you can say, in the beginning was the word. And the word was God, and the word was with God. You can say, he gave you Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, right? You say it how you want to say it, but God loved you so much. He is an awesome God that he saved your soul at his own expense. Amen? Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Now, you got to understand, James, this is the oldest book in the New Testament. James was writing to pioneer Jewish Christians, kind of that first group of crops, that first bunch of fruit on the Jesus tree right there. Okay? But this is for us as well. Amen? Father God, we love you. We praise you. You are everything we need. We ask you, Lord, to give us the desire to sell out to you, to put you first, to hunger and thirst for righteousness, because we know all too well you will fill us up. Thank you that you will guide us, lead us, direct us, that you will give us a hunger for this word, that we will grow in relationship with you. We love you. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Hey, you know what? I don't know how many of you guys have or haven't done this yet. But you need to sign back up for the email stuff right there in that little room if you haven't already done that, because James lost a bunch of info and we want to be able to get a hold of you guys. And if you want to be able to sign up for dinners and the like and stuff like that, go ahead and try and do that today. Okay. And Sister Robin said about Wednesday, look for your email so you can sign up for whatever you want to bring to Friendship Sunday next Sunday. Wednesday night, we have a whole lot going on. We have something for every age group, from the little kids to the oldest one in the congregation. We've got good stuff going on, all Bible-based, all centered around the Word of God for your spiritual growth. Men's Bible study tomorrow at 1:30 at Whataburger's on Stewart Street. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, and we praise you, and we worship you. I already said all this. We love you, Jesus, anyways. Amen. God bless.